I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. The end is nigh. Just wanted to, in the spirit of Halloween, come out creepy. The end of the football season is nigh, as far as the regular season. This is what I meant by that. So, there you go. That was my Vincent Price impression or something. But, yeah.
He would be proud.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be. Okay. So, yeah, football season is winding up, getting into playoffs this week for some classes. And then next week, the rest, we'll get the playoffs going. So, we'll talk about that. A lot of big games coming up Thursday and Friday. And we'll have a little basketball update because that's about to start, believe it or not. So thanks for joining us. I'm Brad here with James and, as always, the faithful Podgator. And we're going to spend the next few minutes talking high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. You can find us every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalSports. And check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Got a lot to do today, James. Let's just make this efficient.
Yeah, well, I'll try my best.
let's look back real quick at a couple of Week 10 games that you and I covered. I was at Nettleton taking on East Webster. Winner of that game was going to get the number 2 playoff seed out of Region 4-3A and ended up being a pretty good game, more so for East Webster, as they got the win 28-19. Forced 4 turnovers, set the tone early by getting 2 fourth down stops in the red zone. So that East Webster defense really stepped up. And as everybody knows, that Nelton offense with Braylon Williams is hard to stop. And, you know, he got some yards. They hit some chunk plays. But East Webster got the stops when it mattered most. Again, 4 turnovers. Elijah O'Brien forced a fumble. That was a huge turning point in the second half. Ended up scoring a touchdown after that. East Webster did to go up 2 scores. So East Webster finishes number 2 in that region and will be at home for the first round of the playoffs. Nettleton has to go on the road to North Panola. And then the game you were at, Tupelo Christian and Baldwin in Region 1-1A. They were battling for second place behind Biggersville. And, you know, in my column, I did pick Baldwin to win that game. I also picked Nettleton to win, so it wasn't a great week for me. But gutsy performance by the Eagles, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we had Brendan at that game on Thursday.
Sorry, that was Brendan, not you.
And it was a pretty back and forth one.
20-13 was the final.
Yeah, 20-13 final. TCPS won, and it looked like TCPS was about to win it because they got a first. Because I think it looked like Brewer Bailey got a first down when they were up 14-13. They just had to run the clock out. But he ran for a touchdown, and then they missed the ensuing PAT, meaning Baldwin was only down 7 with, I think, a minute to go.
Yeah, it wasn't much time left.
Yeah, there wasn't much time left, but they almost got there. They got down, if not inside the red zone, pretty close to it, and then threw a pick to end it. But, you know, as I've said, both of these teams are very capable of going pretty far, and I think we saw that with how they both fought on Thursday.
Yeah, and Brewer Bailey, man, just continues to be a stud for TCPS, just does everything for that team. So that gets TCPS a home game this week against Coffeyville. Baldwin has to go on the road. I can't even remember who they're playing now. But anyway, so that's just a quick look back at a couple of games from last week. Baldwin goes to Strayhorn. There we go. And looking ahead to this week, again, the playoffs start for classes 1A through 4A. Let's look at some of these, just a few of these matchups real quick. We've got Shannon and Houston. The game's at Houston. These teams met back in week 2. And Houston pulled out a 28-14 win. And that was, week 2. It's been a while. And that game was at Houston, by the way. I feel like Shannon's gotten better since then. And they started off, I think, 2-4. Then they won 3 in a row. And then they lost last week to Amory, which no shame in that. They're really good. Houston has just been rolling along pretty much all season. The only loss coming to Louisville, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Louisville in the middle of the season.
Yeah, otherwise, I mean, and let's be honest, everybody's playing for second place in 4A behind Louisville.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance that Houston there's a scenario where Houston does play Louisville in the North Half Final, but
again,
if they are able to get there, it would be a very, very tall task for anybody.
Yeah, they played them in that game last year. Houston did in Louisville, won en route to winning the state title. So Shannon at Houston. Houston's got Jalen Washington at running back. He's having a great year, 1,250 yards on the ground. You got Smithville and Faulkner. Now, Smithville's 2-8, Faulkner 8-2. I think this could be a sneaky good game, though. I really do. I mean, Smithville's got some dudes now. I like their quarterback, Chandler Brunetti. I like the O'Brien kid.
Barker O'Brien. Recently got a college offer.
There you go. And they got Wes Wiggins, big kid up front on both sides of the ball. But Faulkner, I mean, they've had a great season, best season they've had in a while. Got Gavin Woolley at quarterback, got some playmakers that he can go to. So, I was talking with Dylan Barnes from the our paper up in Ripley. He thought this might be a close game. Like Smithville maybe has a shot. I don't know. But then we got LaFleur County and East Union. I don't really know much about LaFleur County except that, I think it's they're a team that can give East Union a real good game here this week. East Union's, you know, been kind of sneakily had a good season, 4-5. But they, they won their division, didn't they? Yeah.
Yep, and they've got – well, either that or they finished pretty high up. I know they have a second-year head coach.
First or second, I forget. But they got a home game.
Yep.
Yeah, Brandon Cherry doing a good job over there for East Union. So, those games will all be on Friday. Now, Thursday, the regular season winds up for teams in 5A through 7A, and the game of the night, the game of the week, to me, is Starkville at Tupelo. Winner of that game will claim the Region 2-7A title and, of course, the number one seed. That pretty much is pretty much gets you home playoff games throughout. It's a big deal, especially in 7A, which, like I've said before, I can't really pick a clear-cut favorite. You know, we had Starkville lose to Germantown earlier this year, and that's a team Tupelo just curb-stomped a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Was 42-3, I think.
Yep.
But Starkville, man, they've got some dudes from Trey Petty to Braylon Burnside to Jay Stevenson, Cortland Cooper. I mean, that rushing attack averages over 270 yards a game. Tupelo only gives up about 72 rushing yards a game. That's 200 yards less, if my math is correct. it's kind of one of those, you know, immovable object and unstoppable force kind of matchups, and I love those.
Oh, yeah, and the line of scrimmage is going to be huge there.
Yeah, I mean, they got a great offensive line at Starkville. Tupelo, we know about their D-line with Jerelyn McCoy, some of those guys, and so much talent at linebacker. I mean, Tristan Jernigan, Damari Burton, help me out here, Jabari Dooley, Clifton Watkins.
Oh, he has a linebacker, okay.
Yes, and so this is just to me that front seven. That's going to be a huge task for them to try to stop all three of those guys because Trey Petty, the quarterback, can run it as well as any of them. Jay Stevenson is the lead back, but Cooper comes in and compliments him pretty well. Coach Chris Jones calls him Thunder and Lightning. So both teams come in with 7-2 records. Tupelo is 3-0 in region. Starkville 2-1. So if Starkville wins, then naturally they get the head-to-head tiebreaker. These teams met twice last year. Tupelo won in the regular season. If I recall, Trey Petty did not play that game. He was out, but then he was in the game when they met again in the Class 6A North Final and led Starkville to a win. And then just what was a kind of a crazy game. I was at that one. I'll be at this one Thursday night. So really excited about it. I mean, it's a playoff atmosphere, even though it's not a playoff game. So. There you go. That's a quick look at some of the football this week. James, basketball starts next week. Can you believe it?
No, absolutely not.
I know. I can't either. I mean, heck, soccer has started already. It kind of snuck up on me. It started this week, and now we got basketball next week. I did actually get out to a basketball jamboree this past Saturday at Pontotoc. Had a lot of good teams out there, and had, you know, every year you have some kids who transfer schools. It happens all the time. But, like, I would say the five most notable transfers we had were all in the same gym on Saturday. So I was like, well, I've got to go see these kids with their new teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Demetrius Duffy and Trey Terrell transferred from Saltillo to Tupelo. Mm-hmm. Duffy was the first team all area pick last year. He's just a beast, double-double guy. On the girls' side, you had Hannah Finley transferred to Pontotoc from New Albany. You had Lila Cox transfer from Morville. Excuse me. Finley from New Albany to Pontotoc. Is that what I said? And then Lila Cox from Morville to Pontotoc. And then you've also got Tootie Lockett, formerly of Noxubee County, now with Starkville. She was there also on Saturday. So I got a chance to catch up with all five of them, wrote a story that ran earlier this week in the Journal. You can find it at djournal.com as well. Duffy and Terrell, I mean, those are huge pickups for Tupelo because they lost almost all their scoring and rebounding from last year. I think they'll be a good team, but I'm still waiting on some guys to get back from football. But I liked what I saw from them on Saturday. I really loved what I saw from Pontotoc's girls. I mean, they played Starkville and just wasn't even close. And Starkville's really good. Like, they're going to be ranked high.
Pontotoc did lose a couple of seniors, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they lost Ella Hill at point guard and put me on the spot now. But I think Sadie Stegall graduated. Yeah, but they got so much back. They got Corey Grace Ware. They've got Channing Lane. They've got Elena Ball. Several others who either started or played big minutes off the bench for that team that went all the way to the state final last year. And, again, they've added Hannah Finley, really good point guard who can score and defend, and Lila Cox, six-footer, who can score inside and out. I want to give y'all any spoiler alerts because I haven't released my preseason rankings yet. But Pontotoc to me is the best girls team in the area. I mean, Tupelo, Starkville, Ingramar, Boonville are all going to be up there. But to me, Pontotoc, it's their title to lose this year. They got just an embarrassment of riches. So, yeah, basketball starts next week, James. We might have to try to get you and Brendan out to a game and myself. So. Because, you know, you got here in what, April?
Yeah, late April.
So you covered the end of baseball, softball. You've been covering football and volleyball.
Yeah, I did one basketball all-star game up in Boonville.
That's right.
That's about my only experience.
So you're going to get to see more of these gyms around here, which are some of the coolest in the area.
Oh, yeah. Boonville's gym is a really big operation, like that big jumbotron.
Oh, yeah. You've been there.
I can't believe that's in a 3A school.
I know.
It's pretty awesome.
It's just, that's kind of typical around here. So I'm really pumped about basketball season. I mean, it's my favorite sport to cover, mainly because it's played inside. but anyway, that's no, awesome. I love it. Okay, so yeah, we'll have some basketball updates going forward. Have my preseason rankings and players to watch. Try to get that in the paper sometime next week. Okay, let's close it out with the Athletes of the Week. The nominees this week for Female Athlete of the Week are Emily Avent of East Webster, Caroline Perkins of Lafayette, and Elsie Wilbanks of Corinth. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Brady Kelly of Kossuth, Zion Nunn of Boonville, and Jake Moffitt of Ripley. We'll have those polls you can vote on for Athlete of the Week on Twitter at DJournalSports. Should be posted by the time you hear this. So go vote for Athletes of the Week. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalSports. I'm on there at Brad Locke. James is on there at JS Murphy Media.
Correct.
Nailed it. Check out Pizza Doctor, Midtown Point, Tupelo. All right. See y'all next week.